This morning, our topic is the open mic, and the key word is blessing, and a text I'll refer to at the very end rather than at the beginning is Colossians 3, 16 and 17 as a key text. And I'm pretty sure that when I posted that I was going to talk about the open mic, nobody would come today, and nobody did, so that's, you know, that's probably, like, oh no, what's he going to say, am I going to violate one of the rules? And so everybody kind of stood back, and nobody came to the open mic, and it's like, well, it's not like that at all. We're going to gently land this one, and I'll give you the reasons for why I decided to preach on it. At Gospel Fellowship, kind of the big idea this morning, at Gospel Fellowship Community Church, we have an open mic available during the worship time for believers to encourage, exhort, and edify the body. So, now, why this topic now? Why all of a sudden, after all these years of being together, are we preaching about the open mic? First, it's not a problem that needs to be addressed. I'm not preaching this because it's an issue and we've had a problem with it. We're blessed each week as we observe the open mic being used and the gifts that are being used there to how it's being used correctly. And so this message is instructive, not corrective. I just need to lay that out of the foundation. So rest easy and sit back and go, he's getting ready to lower the boom. And the elders have talked about this and we got to modify. No, things are great. It's just, so it's not a problem. Secondly, I've never preached on it. In all the years I've preached and been part of Household of Faith and Gospel Fellowship, I've never preached on it. And what really prompted me to think about it is the Salem Church asked me to come and preach on it at some time. And they may have already covered it, but so I started to think about it and work through it. And I thought, okay, what would I say to that church down there? And why don't I practice on this church here before I go down there and preach that? Especially since the one who initiated and started the open mic was going to be sitting in the audience down there when I give the message, if I do. Okay, I've never preached on it. Thirdly, and I hope that as we work through this topic, it will encourage you, each of you, encourage you to come to the open mic. A lot of things keep us from fear, shyness. I know for me sometimes it's, I kind of have an idea of what I want to say, but I don't have the whole thought. It's kind of partly there, but I don't know how I'm going to end it when I come up, so I just won't come up because I kind of know where I want to start. I just don't know where I'm going to land it. So maybe that's you too. So woven throughout this text, we're going to see words and thoughts like serving, varieties of gifts, common good, one spirit, edification or upbuilding, and the glory of God. All those things are kind of be woven into what I'm going to be saying. And as we approach this topic today, I'm going to center it around five questions that I asked myself as I was kind of thinking about the open mic. And I asked myself these questions, and I said, well, that's going to just form the outline of what we're talking about. And we'll just work through these five questions and as we go. So the five questions are, what is the open mic? And I'm trying to approach this from the standpoint of somebody who's relatively new to us, who may not fully understand why we do this and what it's for and what the purpose of it is and who should come and all that kind of stuff. So what is the open mic? Secondly, who can come to the open mic? Who can come to the open mic? Are we restrictive in any way about who should be coming to the open mic? Thirdly, what are the blessings of the open mic? If we have it, it should be a blessing to you, an offering to the Lord, a blessing to the congregation. But what are the blessings of the open mic? Fourthly, what are the safeguards for the open mic to keep it from going off the rails and to kind of go into a ditch and go, what happened here this Sunday? And again, this is corrective, or not corrective, it's instructive because I really don't see that we've observed that, but let's talk about what keeps it safe week by week. And fifth, what should be the outcome of the open mic? What's the purpose of having it, and what should be the outcome of having the open mic? And so I'll have those five up and as we go along, but the first one is, what is the open mic? And a little fuller definition, the open mic or microphone is available at the front of the church during that portion of our worship service where we worship in song. It is an occasion for a believer to come to the front and bring a word of encouragement or exhortation to the assembled church. And the reason I made that little bit longer of a definition, that portion of the worship service where we worship in song, all of our gathering is worship. It's not just the singing that's our worship. It's not just the preaching that's worship. It's our gathering, it's our singing, it's our preaching, it's our open mic, it's our offerings that we bring. All of that is worship. So I felt like I had to string that out a little bit more. It's that portion of the service, worship service, where we worship in song. Occasionally, we've had somebody come up at the end of the service, so the songs are playing at the end, and someone says, I got one additional thing I want to say. So occasionally, we've had an open mic at the end of the service. Not very often, but it can happen. And so I wanted to define that a little bit better. And then let's talk for a second about the history of it. So to the best of my knowledge, it began when Household of Faith started in Gresham. Greg Harris started the church, and he felt, along with the initial leadership there, that by allowing people to come to the open mic or open microphone, it would give more opportunity for expression of the gifts within the body to happen. And those of you that have been with us long enough that attended in Gresham, it was a very robust open mic with lots of varieties of gifts being shared there, and it was a real blessing. But I've also seen it modeled at a couple of Sovereign Grace churches where they had the open mic. I don't know if they still do, but where they had the open mic. And the ones that I attended, it was a screened open mic. The elder would stand on the side. If you had a word to say, you would go over to the elder and tell them what you wanted to say, and the worship would be going on. And then in the appropriate time, that elder would say, okay, go now, and share. They're hearing, they want to hear what you're going to say up front. And then, so it's screened. Okay, we kind of don't do that. We kind of think that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you, and the elder, you don't have to tell the elders what you're going to say before you say it, and the Holy Spirit is going to guard and protect the open mic, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But it doesn't need to be screened. Not throwing stones at them for doing that, but they did that, and some of them, I even think of the Sovereign Grace churches, have probably stopped doing the open mic for their church, and they've changed that format, but we still do it. So that's a little bit of the history. It started with Household of Faith, and I'm not aware of any other church in our area that does something like this. So it's unique. The open mic is unique to us. In the local church, encouragement and exhortation can come in a variety of ways with the various giftings within this local body. The open mic is just one vehicle for you to exercise a spiritual gift, but it is one vehicle that we think is very important. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and they were having a little bit of an issue with spiritual gifts. As you guys have studied through 1 Corinthians, you know that there was an improper and unbalanced use of the gifts, and they were kind of comparing to each other, saying, my gift's more important than yours, and you need to honor my gift over your gift. And, you know, if you seek these gifts, you're more spiritual than if you have these gifts. And Paul writes a corrective to that in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 13 and 31. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So Paul is saying to that church in Corinth, and written for our edification, a few things from that text. The first thing is, each believer is given a spiritual gift or gifts. Some people believe you have one gift. Other people believe that the Spirit can give multiple gifts to a person. I personally believe that you can have more than one spiritual gift, and you're to exercise all of those gifts. There are many books out there about spiritual gifts. Some of them are better than others. You've probably read some spiritual gifts, how to discern the will of God, things like that. And they're out there, and they're helpful. Some of them are better than others. You can also find a host of spiritual gift inventories out there online where you can take a spiritual gift inventory to try to ascertain your spiritual gift. which some have found very helpful, and I, my opinion, less so. I found the start doing and see how the Lord uses you approach is probably the best way to exercise your spiritual gifts. You just start doing it and see if it gets confirmed by within your own spirit and within the congregation that, yes, you have the gift of helps, or yes, you obviously have the gift of giving, or yes, praise God, you have the gift of ministration, or you have the gift of exhortation, or the gift of helps, things like that. So you start doing and see how the Lord uses it rather than taking inventory to tell you where some have benefited from the spiritual gift inventory. I'm not downplaying that totally. I'm just saying I found the start doing it to be better. We also see that there are varieties, according to this text, there are varieties of gifts within each local body as the Spirit directs. There are varieties of gifts within everybody. It says in this text that spiritual gifts are given for the common good of the body. They're a good thing that spiritual gifts are within each body. The church is blessed by your spiritual gift or your spiritual gifts as you use them. And it says in this text, these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as He wills. As He wills. He's distributing those gifts among the body. The open mic, this is like Daniel did this morning, is introduced by the worship leader. And usually after the first song, sometimes they'll introduce it before the first song. Sometimes they'll pray and then introduce it. Other times they don't introduce it and we know what it's about. But for anybody who has not been with us for a shorter amount of time, sometimes it's helpful to explain, as Daniel did, why the open mic is there. And we'll talk about misuses of it in a little bit. And then practically, we know that a person is invited to the open mic by the worship leader at the appropriate time. They've prepared a set of songs, which usually about, I don't know how long it's going to be, I'll get into that in a second, but that he's looking for you to come to the open mic. And you may have to wait. Some of our songs have 6 or 7 verses. It starts in creation and ends in glory. And you go up there with creation, and you got to go all the way to glory before they invite you up. And that's a long time to stand there sometimes. So just be aware that they're not ignoring you. They want to hear your word. They've just prepared a song, and it makes more sense in the flow of the service just to complete the song rather than stop in the middle. Sometimes they might stop in the middle, and that's fine. But you know the songs I'm talking about that begin here and in there. And they're good. They're good songs too, or else the worship leader wouldn't have picked them. So that explains what the open mic is. Now to the second question, who can come to the open mic? The open mic is available to any believer. The open mic is available to any believer, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of if they attend regularly one of our worship services. Several times we've had somebody come to the open mic who's been a family member or somebody that we know has come to the open mic, but they're visiting, and that's perfectly appropriate. So any believer, but I want to make perfectly clear, it's available to men and to women, to young and to old. We make no restrictions, only that you be a believer. You be a believer. Like I said, we've had visitors on occasion come to the open mic, and most times we know them from another context, and so that is a safeguard also. 1 Corinthians 14:26-27, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, that each one would say that each one of us in our spiritual gifting may feel led to come to the open mic, and it's not restricted to the men only or the most mature and things like that. But I have to address women at the open mic. I think it's not in a corrective way. What about 1 Corinthians 14:34? The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. What do you do with that verse? I had somebody several years ago say, how do you handle that verse? And I said, I got to go study it some more. Because we know from other passages recorded in the New Testament, the women spoke in church. And so that contradicts the verse here that says they're supposed to keep silent. One's like 1 Corinthians 11:5, but every wife who prays or prophesies, well, in the context of the worship service, there's women that are praying or prophesying during the course of the worship service. So that verse that says each one should keep silent, that doesn't jive with that. Or in 1 Corinthians 11:3, judge for yourself is a prop for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered. That's the context of praying with a head covering or not a head covering. This is not a head covering sermon, so I'm not going to address that. The point is that they're praying head covered. They're praying in the context of the worship service. So women are not restricted from coming to the open mic. I just wanted to settle that in case anybody had a thought about it. And if you have more concerns about that, come and talk to the elders and we can address that in more detail. Actually, in 1 Corinthians 14 passage, which I don't have up there, but the context pertains to prophecies being given and a woman not exercising authority over a man, but actually Paul says that if something comes up in the church service, the woman should take that to their husband and ask them privately, not just stand up in church and blurt out and say, I don't understand that, can you explain that? Because first of all, it strengthens the man, and secondly, it honors the headship role that God designed. So it's perfectly appropriate if you have a question to discuss it with your husband or father if you're a young woman who has a question about what is said from the open mic. But women are not restricted from speaking. So your elders believe that the open mic is not restricted to males only. Females can and do come to the open mic with edifying words for the flock. And we hear that nearly every week, and we're so grateful for the women who do come forward, as well as the men, as well as the young people, as well as the older ones. So all. There have been a couple of occasions over the years where specifically a woman has come up and said, I have a word for the ladies this morning. And they'll stop and pause. And we don't ask the men to leave, but that person feels led, that woman feels led to say a word to the ladies, and we get to benefit from listening to it. She has a word of, I wouldn't say teaching, but a word of exhortation or encouragement for the ladies, and we all get to hear it, but it's directed specifically at the ladies, if that makes sense. You can remember that over the last few years. Not a lot, but that can happen, and that's perfectly appropriate too. So in summary, men, women, young, old, any believer can come to the open mic. Okay, third, what are the blessings of the open mic? What are the blessings of the open mic? I would say, first of all, participation. Every believer has an opportunity to participate in the worship service as they're led by the Holy Spirit. Our worship team is not a worship band of performers where we listen to them perform and we sit as an audience listening to a concert. We join them in worship. It's a worship team that's up here, not a worship band. It's not a concert. Your active participation in the singing is vitally important to the for your own soul and for your fellow brothers and sisters around you. Even if you don't have a great voice, just sing right out. That's good. Our preaching time is where one man preaches, but all participate by active listening. Maybe a thought or a phrase that you want to take home with you or something you want to discuss later in the day. You're actively participating even when one person is speaking. There's an active participation on your part. And so the same with the open mic. It's active participation. You have an opportunity to participate in a personal and unique way to the Sunday gathering. Each person may come to the open mic, as I said, but we may have constraints. We might have constraints, like in terms of time and flow of worship. And the worship leader is supposed to be sensitive to that, and he might have to cut a song or skip a verse or something. He's kind of watching the clock while he's very hard to be a worship. This isn't on worship. It's very hard to be a worship leader because you have to be ahead of what you're singing, and you have to be thinking ahead, and you have to be looking for the open mic, and you have to be looking at kind of all those things at once. And so it's not an easy thing to do. But when you come to the open mic, there may be some constraints in terms of time where everybody who would like to speak won't have an opportunity to, and the worship leader is supposed to be sensitive to that. On occasion, and I've seen it said, where you come up front to go to the open mic and the song goes on, and oh no, what I was going to say doesn't really match with what we're singing now. And so you'd go around and sit down, and that's okay. It's not, you know, the Holy Spirit just says, that's for another time, and you just sit down. That's okay. That doesn't mean that you got upset and you were in a huff, it just means that it wasn't in the flow of what was happening by the time you were getting ready to be called up. And so you said, it's probably just better off for me just to go and sit down and I'll have another opportunity to share that in another context or maybe privately with someone. So, participation. Secondly, edification. Once again, at the end of 1 Corinthians 14:27, let all things be done for edification. We are mutually encouraged. I know I am and I know you are. When our brothers and sisters come to the open mic, it's encouraging to hear what is said from the open mic. In a very real sense, the open mic is a practical way, one of the practical ways of modeling the one another passages. I never thought about this until I started to work through this for this sermon. The open mic is a practical way to exercise some of the one another passages that are in the New Testament. Let me give you a couple examples. Love one another. Love one another. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. The open mic is a practical way of showing your love for the congregation and you receiving that love back from the congregation by the word that you share. We're loving on each other as we come to the open mic, and it's a very practical way of modeling this one another passage. Build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, build one another up. The open mic is a way to build someone up. In our time of fellowship between our singing in worship and our preaching, we often find out things about people, or we heard something from the open mic that prompts us to go to them and talk to them privately about something, or thank you, I really needed to hear that today. Or sometimes the word comes from the open mic and somebody else will come up and say, I appreciate what was said, and that ties in with the call to worship that I heard Dennis speak about on the glory of God, and that tied in with the glory of God passages. And so there is a building one another up aspect of the open mic. Thirdly, serving one another. The open mic is an occasion to serve. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You ever think that when you come to the open mic, you're serving your brothers and sisters? It's an act of service. We think of service as practical things like putting out the food for shared meal and picking up the chairs and things like that. It's actually an act of service to come to the open mic. We're serving each other when we do it. Or encouraging one another. Pray for one another first. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. How often when somebody shares something from the open mic do you think, I need to pray for that person about that? Not right at the time necessarily, but it's an occasion for you to pray for that person or for that situation. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words. There's an encouragement that happens as you come to the open mic and as we receive and hear the words that are shared. And sometimes to exhort one another, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. Exhort one another. Bring a word of exhortation. Have you considered this in your life? I know the Lord has been prompting me in this area. What about in your life? Has the Lord? And that's that exhortation to that call to maturity, that call to growth that happens as we exhort one another. I was reading a blog post about this about a week ago, about the one another passages, and the person said right after it, kind of this throwaway comment, do you know that all these one another passages were perfectly modeled by Jesus Christ? And I thought, I never thought about that. I always thought about the context of you and I, of one another. These were all perfectly modeled. He prayed for his disciples. He encouraged them. He exhorted them. He served them, obviously. All the one another passages were perfectly modeled by Jesus Christ. And we just have the opportunity, by extension, to share that and do that with each other. So, the bottom line, you have an opportunity and a responsibility to exercise your spiritual gift or gifts as you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to edify the body. Edification, we throw that word around a lot. It literally means to build up or upbuilding. The open mic is an opportunity to promote and encourage spiritual growth among us. How many times when you hear somebody come to the open mic, you say, that's a good word, I need to think about that some more. I need to put that into practice, or I need to study that some more. That happens. So it is an opportunity to encourage spiritual growth. So a good question to ask before you come to the open mic is, will this serve and edify or encourage the body with what I'm about to share? Is it going to encourage or edify? This is a quick question to ask, and the Holy Spirit's prompted you, and you could just ask that question of yourself, and then yes, and then come to the open mic. You might then ask, is the open mic just a free-for-all? Is it just a free-for-all? We just let it run wild here at the church. And no, how do we keep the doctrine right and the message clear and have it still edify and strengthen the church? So the fourth point, what are the safeguards for the open mic? What are the safeguards? And I know your first response will probably say, well, it's the elders' responsibility to make sure that, yes, we'll get to that. I really believe that the first safeguard is a mature believer sitting right out here on any given Sunday. It's you mature believers that are that first safeguard. You're able to listen and discern truth and from error. And if you hear something that's a little bit amiss or you have a question on, you know, you can come and talk to an elder about it and ask about it and that. But I really believe that the first safeguard is mature, Bible-saturated believers that can distinguish truth from error. And that's that. I would say also one of the other helps I have found is to, the open mic is shared, to listen with my Bible in my lap. Some of you will take a note about or what's being said, or I kind of like to listen with my Bible in my lap so that when they come and speak, and if you come to the open mic, it's helpful if you could say the reference that you're referring to when you're going to bring a word of Scripture, because I think it's here, it sounds like Paul, or, you know, we don't have the whole Bible memorized, so you just help us by saying, in 1 Corinthians 4, I'm reading this verse about this, and that helps. But I like to listen to the open mic with my Bible in my lap so that I can be listening and get a context for what's being shared, and just as part of an elder's responsibility, that helps me. So the first line is mature believer. Second line to safeguard is your elders. Your elders are supposed to be on duty for doctrinal error or misuse of the open mic. We're responsible for protecting the church from false teaching. And the three of us take that responsibility very, very seriously. We don't want false doctrine to come in. We don't want anything like that. Acts 20:28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves. This is talking to the elders. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So he says, he's saying to the Ephesian elders, first of all, make sure your heart is right, elders, before you even walk in the door to church service. Make sure your heart is right. Pay careful attention to yourself. And then to all the flock. So we have that responsibility to the whole flock to safeguard the teaching, the open mic, and what is said from doctrinal error. What happens when something does come up? And I can't even think of an example. What happens when something does come up where doctrinal error would creep in? I think the elders may need to address it at the time that the word has been spoken. I think that I've only seen that happen probably two times in the 20-some years we've been part of Household of Faith or Gospel Fellowship, where an elder has had to immediately step up after somebody said something and said, you know, I think a better way of putting that or a different way of saying that, or I think what the person is meaning to say is, and they have to bring a corrective right at the time. That rarely, rarely, rarely happens. But when it does, it needs to be stated firmly but lovingly. That speaking the truth in love, that needs to happen. And I've been reading through Jeremiah and Ezekiel right now, and there are some pretty sober warnings there about shepherds who misuse their office and what happens to them. The words of, you're leading the whole, you shepherds are following after idols, and you're leading the whole flock down a wrong path. That's a very sobering passages that you're going into exile because, in this case, because the elders are self-serving and not thinking of the flock, they're thinking of themselves. And there's a lot of verses about that, more than I want to bring in this morning. Let's talk for a couple minutes about the misuse of the open mic to keep it safeguarded. Misuse. One of the ones is a person coming too often to the open mic. Rarely is this ever an issue. I can't even think of an issue in our church. May have been years ago where we had to come to somebody and say, you know what? Put a little breathing room between coming to the open mic. Let other people come. Don't always be the first one to come up. Just, you know. So that rarely happens. And that is dealt with privately. An elder would never come to the front and say, you know, I appreciate the word from so-and-so, but you're just coming too often. That would be very inappropriate to say. So when somebody comes too often, that would be dealt with privately. The second one, talking too long could be a misuse. Saying what could be said in 1 to 2 minutes, but taking 10 minutes. And again, that's dealt with privately. Again, that's rarely an issue. I can't think of an instance in our church. But the worship leader has prepared a set of songs about 35, 40 minutes, and the sermon about 30 to 45 minutes, more on the 30 to 35. And the open mic is really not a time for a second sermon, you know. Just, you could share that privately, but be concise, come, share what you're going to say, and do that. Don't let that scare you away, but we were talking through this on Tuesday night, and there was one occasion several years ago where one of the elders had to come up and kind of put his arm around the person and say, I think what you're trying to say is, bing, 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 yes, that's it. Thank you for sharing that. And to kind of nudge them back to their seat. That was years ago. I wasn't here that Sunday, so I had it all heard that all on secondhand from somebody who reminded me about that. Personal, taking too long. Third one, personal testimony time. When you come to the open mic, it's totally proper to recount a brief snippet of what prompted you to come to the open mic. We bought a new car yesterday, and what I learned in the process of buying a new car, I don't need to tell you the dealership, how long it was, how back and forth we went, what type of car it is, all kind of stuff. I just need to say, what I learned in the new car buying process yesterday was, and then go right into the word that I have and skip all of the part about, just so be brief and it's not personal testimony time. There's other opportunities for that. Another one, occasionally, very, very occasionally, is the open mic turning into a prayer request. When the open mic, we're talking about this again on Tuesday night, when we come to the open mic, this is an offering to the Lord. This is a praise and a worship up to Him. This is, the open mic is, when you come up, is to point our affections and our thoughts and our desires up to the Lord. So probably the prayer request, if there's a specific prayer request, maybe let the person who's doing announcements know that there's something I specifically need to pray for. You guys have a family member being added to your home in a few weeks. That might be a perfectly appropriate time to who's ever on worship or on announcements next week to say, can we pray for that? Because I'm going to go out and bring my dad back, and I'd really appreciate the church praying for that. Maybe not at the open mic, but maybe at the end of announcement time before we do that, or you'd pray with the elders privately if you'd prefer to do that. So really not prayer request time so much. Okay, here's another misuse. Occasionally, not listening to the flow of the service. You kind of come with a preconceived idea of what you're going to say, and stopping to say, do what I have to say relate to what's being said from the call to worship, the songs we're singing, and kind of listening to the flow of the service before you come. That shouldn't restrict you from coming, but it should be a good question. Is what I'm about to share fit in with the flow of the service? And then one final one, and this one is coming with an agenda. This is one, I've only seen this a couple of times, and this is not in this church, it was before in a previous church, which I won't mention on tape this morning. But this coming with an agenda is hijacking the service without the elder's knowledge. This is the person who is driving to church, and on his way to church, it's something like, they'll come to the open mic, say, on the way to church this morning, I was thinking that it would be a good idea to just stop right now, get in small groups and pray for Mongolia, Ukraine, the persecuted church, the state of our country. And the elders are going, what just happened? This person just came up to the open mic and said, let's just cancel the rest of the singing, let's cancel the sermon, let's just get in small groups and pray for Ukraine for the rest of the hour. And so we've had to go to that person and say, if you have that unction from the Holy Spirit on the way to church, would you obviously didn't just think of it when you were sitting there, would you come and let the elders know. Perhaps we will rearrange the service to accommodate that. We hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea. Thank you very much. But coming with an agenda and hijacking the service through the open mic is not a good thing. So, okay, enough of that. One other thing. A child coming to the open mic. It's a good idea that, because our kids sit with us in the worship service, they see the open mic, and they may want to come. So it's a good idea for the parent just to give them a little bit of coaching, come up with them, ask them what they want to say. We've had kids come up before. It's perfectly appropriate, but parental coaching would be helpful here to either come up with them or hear what they're going to say for their own sake. And because, like we said, young, old, men, women are welcome to come to the open mic. Okay, enough about the misuse part here. What should be the outcome of the open mic? Finally, what should be the outcome of the open mic? And I think you probably already know where I'm going to go with that. It's the glory of God. The glory of God is the purpose, the goal, the end goal of the open mic. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." The intended purpose of the open mic is to bring glory to God. God uses the open mic in our local assembly to edify the body by using spiritual gifts that are going to bring glory to Him. Every word spoken should point up. The open, every word spoken should point up. Now, it's not about me or my knowledge or my insight or my gift. It's about the glory of God. We're addressing one another, but the point is the glory of God, to point people to Jesus. One final thing, and this is a statement, really not a question. It goes something like this: "I'm not as spiritual as so-and-so," or "I could never say it as good as he or she does." And I would say, don't let comparison keep you from coming to the open mic. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you in your unique personality. Don't let comparison, I can't come, I can't say it as good as Steve Byer says it. He just says it way better than I could, so I'm just going to wait for him to come. And don't do that. Comparison really kills, and it deflates, and it keeps you from exercising your gift. Satan loves to use comparison to silence your words and your actions. So I would say, be bold, be prayed up, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and as the Lord prompts, come to the open mic. And even as I say that, I know that everyone will not start coming to the open mic, and that's perfectly fine. But your elders hope that more of you will feel comfortable in doing that and in just allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. One final verse, Colossians 3:16 and 17. This is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, but these verses: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That kind of summarizes everything that I've been talking about. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. During the week, as you read the word, as you meditate on the word, as you think about the word of God, not only is it going to impact your work and your home life and your recreation life, it's going to impact the Sunday gathering. Because you're marinating, you're thinking about the word of God, it can prepare your heart and mind to bring a fresh word from your heart to the congregation. As you're prompted, urged, sometimes pushed, or the word is compelled by the Holy Spirit to come, some of you have experienced that. I know probably not all of you. Some of you have experienced that. I've just got to go to the open mic today. And I just, you know, that's okay. That's okay. You've prepared your heart during the week by let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that when you come on Sunday, you've got fresh insight from the Lord, fresh meditations from the Lord that you can bring in the context of what's happening in the service. There's probably other areas about the open mic that I haven't covered, and we'd love to talk with you about that. I tried to be as thorough as I could on the details of it. But as the worship team comes up, I want to just pray for us right now. Worship team, go ahead and come on up.